All right, lawyer talk off the record on the air. It's tan suit day, which means we're talking a lot about alcohol and driving. We've done a couple other episodes today on drinking and driving.
You call that tan? I think it's gray.
I guess it's all in the eyes of the beholder. It might be gray. It might be a little
beige. You might be colorblind.
Maybe. My shirt's blue.
Maybe I'm colorblind.
It could be. Maybe it's gray. Maybe it's tan. Grayish.
We'll do that. Yeah.
Well, grayish. So you Martha Stewart fans out there, you know what grayish is.
I don't know.
Everybody in the last decade painted their house grayish inside. But anyway, I know this because I'm married. Anyway, we have... I don't even remember what I'm talking about today.
Drinking and driving.
Yeah. I had a case, and actually I had a question the other day that came up in a case, and the individual was asking, or the individual was pulled over for drinking and driving, OVI in Ohio, DUI where you are, whatever it is where you are else, I don't care. Driving under the influence of alcohol or DUI. And the person was pulled over and said, I'll take your stupid test. I'm not drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the test started with the field sobriety test. So as for those who have listened to our DUI 360 series, there's three standardized ones that are sponsored by the federal government under NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And those are a walk and turn test, a one-leg stand test, and the eye test, the horizontal gaze nystagmus test. I'm not going to break those down, different episode. But the other test everybody knows about is the breath test,
mm-hmm.
or the urine test, or the blood test. And this person says, look, I'm so confident am I that I have not had too much to drink that I will take your breath test. In Ohio, the legal limit, as I think it is most places, is 0.08.
Correct.
And this person takes the test, and lo and behold, it is under the legal limit. I think there's like a 0.065 or something along those lines, something, mm-hmm. 0.068.
Toe in the line.
Meh, pushing the envelope a little bit, mm-hmm. but you know, look, he had two glasses of wine at dinner. Could be the case.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally fine. That is what it is. So he thought, tells his wife, no big deal. We're going home.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a good night. We're going to finish this date night right. And cop had a different plan for him, arrested him, charged him with DUI. And he says, why? How could that possibly be? I'm under the legal limit.
The sobriety test?
Well, we got to go deeper than that. There are two ways in most states, and Ohio too, that you can be charged with DUI. The first is what I call the old-fashioned way. This is what granddad would have known about. This is where you're just too drunk to drive. So, you know, like you said, field sobriety test, bloodshot mm-hmm. eyes, slurred speech, unsteady on your feet, use the car for balance when he exited the motor vehicle. And then you can get into the obvious ones, like had an obvious pee stain on the front of his trousers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some vomit going down his shirt, and the telltale one that gives everybody away drinking and driving a bag of White Castles
yeah.
in the center console. You know you're drunk. That should be a standardized clue. I'm going to call NHTSA. So that's the old-fashioned way. You're just driving under the influence of alcohol. It doesn't matter what your blood alcohol content is. I don't drink anymore, but when I did, I was really good at it, and I could drink a lot and not look like I drank a lot. Nonetheless, so maybe then I could appear to a police officer or somebody else like I'm not under the influence of alcohol, but I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I could still be guilty of OVI, because the second way you get charged, not the old granddad way, but the modern way since the advent of breath testing, is you are operating a motor vehicle, driving a car, in Ohio, even a lawnmower or a bicycle or a tractor. Something.
My dad got one on a bicycle.
Did he really?
Yeah. Tough.
Good for him. Well, he needs to be a guest. Anyway, operating a motor vehicle, and believe it or not, a bicycle is defined in Ohio as a motor vehicle. Why? Because that's just what it is. With a prohibited concentration of alcohol in your blood, breath, or urine, depending upon what test you took. In other words, if you take a breath test and you blow over the legal limit, it's a crime to drive. Doesn't matter if you appear to be completely sober. Doesn't matter if it was last night's booze. Doesn't matter if it's cough syrup that got you dry. If you blow over the legal limit, then you are committing a crime by driving at the same time. The same is true with urine, and the same is true with blood. Now, in Ohio, we can be charged with both. You could get an offense for per se OVI. That's what I'm talking about. In other words, it's per se. It is understood, a matter of fact, you're committing this crime. If two things are true, actually more than two, but two big things are true, that you're driving a car and you have a prohibited concentration of alcohol in your blood, breath, or urine, it's a crime. Mm-hmm. The other way is you're driving under the influence of alcohol. You can be charged with both. You can even be convicted of both in Ohio. In other words, you can be charged and convicted of both offenses. You can only be sentenced on one, and they generally have the same consequences. I say generally because there's some administrative consequences that get ratcheted up the more you do this. So second, third offenders, the initial administrative, they're not punishments, they are sanctions, are more significant if you got a higher breath test. But anyway, the outcome once you're convicted is the same.
In my head, I'm thinking you get pulled over, sobriety test is a better factor because now in Ohio, marijuana is legal. So even if you blow 0.6 or 0.065, I'm sitting there as a cop. Like, you look pretty fucked up. I'm thinking you maybe had some other substances to help you get to where you're at.
And this is another, then the police may say, look, sir, I don't smell any booze, but, you know, my college days have informed me, and based on my experience and training, that smells like marijuana. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to come into the station house here and give me some pee in a cup or maybe a blood test or something. Now, apparently we have invented now, and it's coming soon, an immediate test for marijuana. And this is a big issue in Ohio. There's debates on the General Assembly floor as we speak about how we prove it. Because Ohio used to have a test, I think it's still intact, that tested for metabolites of marijuana.
Yeah.
And you can make an argument, and everybody who smokes marijuana knows that you can use marijuana today and it'll be in your system next week.
Yeah. I think it's up to like 30 days. And depending how much you use, I think there's even 90.
And the THC levels now are far more potent. So, it sticks with you. Meaning if you get put, like, this has always been the dilemma. If you get pulled over a month after you use marijuana and they, for whatever reason, take your urine and you've got the metabolites of THC in your system, meaning not what's in your system, but what your body has metabolized already and created as a result of that process, that's a positive test. You could actually be convicted of per se OVI, even though it had nothing to do with your driving that day. It's a tangent we don't need to get into. But the point I'm making is you can be charged with both. In this situation, it was a urine test, and it was under the legal limit. There was no marijuana. So it's, or actually it was a breath test. Forgive me. There was another one I was dealt with. But a breath test under the legal limit, no evidence of marijuana or accusations of marijuana or other drugs of abuse. Yet the person got charged with the impaired charge, the granddad way. And my client's saying, well, this isn't fair. I did what was right. I was under the legal limit. I thought I was going home. I thought I was done. We were going to have a nice nightcap, and that was that. But unfortunately, you can be charged with both. You can be charged with only one. In this situation, there is no per se offense because you were not operating, that person was not operating a vehicle while with a prohibited concentration of alcohol in his breath, but the police are going to try to endeavor to prove in a courtroom that this person was under the influence of alcohol nonetheless. In other words, Troy, you're a lightweight, even two glasses of wine will make you under the influence, yada, yada, yada. Fair?
Fair.
Think so? A lot of people are going to think that's a bunch of nonsense.
I understand. Like,
then you get into this thing. It's like, is it the alcohol? Is it the sleep? Is it somebody just tired? I mean, look, you could say I have bloodshot. I do get bloodshot eyes a lot. I haven't had alcohol forever. When I get tired, my eyes get real glazed. You know, there's other things like diabetes. Mm-hmm. I've had clients with diabetes, and that mimics the symptoms of alcohol impairment. Accidents, concussions, airbag deployment, things like that. So look, it can get dicey. And that's why you have to hire, us to represent you in Ohio if you've been charged with OVI, because we have to take it apart. We have to go to war. And sometimes that means just negotiating it. And look, let's just be practical about it. Most of the time, those cases are readily defendable.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. Sometimes they're not. If you get into a jurisdiction that just doesn't do anything, that's what I'm bumping up against in the case I'm talking about. I'm gonna have to go try the case. But most of the time, those cases are readily defendable. The other thing I would say is that we now have most law enforcement, not all, but most have something, or most have body camera footage and dash camera footage, meaning video of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people all the time, if you look good on camera, meaning you don't look like you're plastered. You're probably, that gives me something to work with. If you look like you're plastered, you can't just go sell ice to an Eskimo here. So I always tell people, think of it from the jury standpoint. Let's look at the video, Troy, of how you behaved. So you're pulled over and you got out of the car. Or first the cop said, where are you going? And you said, I'm going to Grove City, yet you're facing north on 71 on the wrong side of town.
Yeah.
Clue.
Clue one.
Clue. Secondly, do you have your license and insurance? Yes, I do. And you hand the guy your White Castle coupon instead, your gift card.
Costco card, probably.
Your Costco card, because you like those roller dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And clue number two, do you have insurance? Of course I do. Here it is. And you fumble through your center console and mm-hmm. your glove box, and you say, oh, it's in the boot. I'll go. I have to get, you know, you're just totally disoriented. So clue number three, step out of the car, Troy. I'd like to perform some tests. No problem. But you don't even have the car in park, and it starts to move a little bit when you get out. These are all real. I mean, look, I've done all this. I've had all these cases. Not the White Castle one, but I've had all these cases. And then you get out, and you use the car for balance. You're unsteady on your feet. Like, look, those are clues that we look for. And those are the kind of clues that show up readily on video,
mm-hmm.
dash cam or body cam and dash camera. But in the more subtle cases, I would say that you've been to Christmas parties or Halloween parties.
Yeah.
You ever showed up to a Christmas or Halloween party before or after everybody had been there for an hour or two?
Yeah.
And you hadn't had anything to drink?
Yeah, I showed up there sober.
How long does it take to pick out the drunk guy?
About 15 minutes, sometimes even less.
Like the second you encounter somebody that's had too much to drink, there's a look they have. Mm-hmm. There's that odor. There's that subtle demeanor shift that you just know. None of those things really translate easily onto body cam and dash cam. So in other words, unless you're notably wasted, like stumbling and staggering, you usually look okay. And if you're not a jackass, so this is my jackass rule, don't be a jackass. If you're not a jackass and you're generally compliant and your paperwork is neat and organized and you hand the police, like you're going to look okay on video. And then we can evaluate whether we can beat or win the impaired case, because you blew under the legal limit, you're still charged.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next question, can the prosecutor or can I introduce my low test to prove that I was not under the influence of alcohol?
I think so. Yes.
Not so fast.
Why not?
You generally have to correlate those two things. Now remember, it's a crime in Ohio to drive with a prohibited concentration. While we all make that connection and associate, now I'm talking about Ohio, guys, so wherever you are, leave us a comment. I'll be happy to look at it. But in Ohio, we associate a connection between your breath test, blood test, or urine test level to your impairment. But the law does not. The law says it's a crime to drive with that much alcohol in your urine, breath, or blood. Doesn't matter if you look impaired. Doesn't matter. A low test, in theory, the prosecutor will argue, is irrelevant to prove that you're not under the influence unless you somehow provide a basis to show that it is. And this is where we would consult with experts. You're a toxicology expert. How much alcohol does it take to make somebody impaired? Like it turns into this junk science. I don't want to call it junk science because we do it, but it's it turns into a little bit of a mishmash. So somebody would say, all right, this person had four drinks over 6 hours with two meals. Here's what I think about that, or here's the correlation. Now, we try to cram this evidence in all the time, and I've gotten pretty okay at it. But we often get an objection, as I would object if the opposite situation is true. Let's say that the government has a higher test, but because the person has hired Palmer Legal Defense to represent them, we found a flaw in the testing process and the police aren't allowed to use that test. It's out of court.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that the prosecutor cannot bring in that test or say they don't have, whatever the problem is, they can't use it. I would say it's not admissible to show impairment unless they've got some sort of expert to link that up. So that is the basis, or that is how those cases play out. look, if you've got a question, if you want to discuss OVIs, if you want to discuss per se OVIs, wherever OVI, whatever they call them where you are, all you got to do is leave us a comment, give us a shout, check us out at Palmer Legal Defense upstairs if you need help, or lawyertalkpodcast.com, send us a question there. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.